Brother Ed has chosen as a subject, very appropriate, hold fast. Hold fast. Brother Ed, may the Lord bless you.
Words can't put into, I'm not very good or emotional, but it is sure good to see you. We missed you dearly. I have fond memories of coming out here and spending the summer, seeing you, fellowshipping with you, getting to know you. And in times of difficult times, a lot of times my mind would come out here and just think of the times we've had together. You have been missed, and it is so good to see you. I don't know how else to put it. But one of the greatest joys we have over time, we're smaller in number, and we haven't seen each other that often. I know we listen to each other and go via convention on internet, but that your faith has remained strong. That is a joy, because we're all aware of, over time, some of our brethren that we've grown up with are died because the Lord's taken them home. It hurts in some aspects, because when you grow up with brethren, you know they're not here. But we're not going to say, stay back. The Lord said, this is what we want. But also growing up with brethren who have deviated from the truth, that hurts. But to see your faces, to see your joy in the truth, it means a lot. It really means a lot to us and our family. And this is Sister, the last time we were out here was 8 years ago at the Puget Sound Convention. This is Sister Elizabeth's first time out this way. And we said, I want you to meet the brethren that I grew up with. You know, and also Luann, to meet you. And we are blessed. But I can't hold back our brethren. This is our class that we meet with, the Central Ohio Bible students. They wanted to send their love. And also, you may not know these two sisters. They are Sister Camille Dubin. Okay, Luann's my button pusher for me, okay? Is it working? Oh, technology is great when it runs right, you know? Okay. On the left is Sister Camille Dubin. On the right is Sister Linda Norwell. They're on the opposite side of the country. They're from Maine. They are part of our ecclesia every Thursday and every Saturday or Sunday. They meet with us via Adobe Connect. They are isolated, and they are an intricate part of our class. And what we like to do, that's simple. Your brother Steve may not have realized it, but he took us to this point. And quoted, I'm sure you can all quote the scripture, Revelation 3:11. And that's where our thoughts are going to center on today. Okay. And part of our text, is Joshua 22, verse 5. Only be very careful to observe the commandments and the law which Moses, the servant of God, commanded you. To love the Lord your God and walk in all his ways and keep his commandments and to serve him, and serve him with all your heart, all your soul. What does that mean? It means walk in his ways. We must not only believe and love and obey the truth, but we must not walk in our own ways, but walk in those ways which God has pointed out. Keeping his commandments, we must love them with all our heart, soul, mind, and body, and strength. this is the most precious gift that has been given to us, is the truth. Brother Steve brought out how it came to us. Not easy. We are the inheritors, if you would, and stewards of the truth that has been passed down to us. It also says, cleave to them. We must cement them and be in union with them so that they will never dissolve from us. Keep them, cling to them. Cling to the truth and serve Him. We must consider Him as our master, having an absolute right to point out to us and when and how we would measure and to do His work. Next one. Yep. Proverbs, let your hearts hold fast my words. Are we having technical difficulty? Okay, we'll wait. Yep. Okay. Proverbs 4:4. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep commandments and what? Live. He also taught us and said, obey thy heart to receive, or open thy heart to receive my instructions. Receive them with affection. When heard, retained, and then what? Practice them, and thou shalt what? Live. The great purpose of thy being brought into the word shall be accomplished in thee. First Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things. Hold fast to the good. Meantime, prove all things. Try every advice by the touchstone of what? Scripture. And hold fast to that which is good. Zealously, resolutely, diligently practice it in spite of all opposition. It is the duty of every child of God to judge what is right and what is wrong. And what is true and what is false. This is from reprint article, early one, 4:16. Is it possible for the plain Christian without any special learning to comply? You know, us simple-minded folk. Is it possible? The pastor says, yes, we reply. It is possible if the desire for truth is what? Paramount to every other desire, so that the inquirer will so bend his circumstances to make every opportunity for study and investigation, and he shall find it and rejoice in it. Reprint article 1205. Psalms 119:130. The entrance of thy words gives light, and it gives understanding to who? The simple. And haven't we found it so? The truth is not complicated. It's easy to understand if we have the heart desire to learn it. Psalms 19:7-10. The law of God is perfect, restoring the soul. The test of the anointing of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of God are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than what? Gold. Yes, much fine gold. Also, that honey and the drippings of sweet honeycomb. The truth is the most precious thing we have. Why are we here? Why are we bonded, traveling all the time and efforts? Because we know the truth is here. And the love and the spirit of the truth is manifested here. The Lord's people, though, should not receive what they hear without proper examination. They should prove what they hear and should use good judgment as what is supported by Scripture. For the end which they should prove what they hear is what they hold and may hold fast everything that stands the test applied to what? The divine word. And proves it to be in accord with the Holy Spirit. And whatever will not stand these tests, what? Rejected. Get rid of them. The early church sat at the apostles' feet as what? Learners. Not with blank, unquestioning minds, but with a disposition to try the spirits and approve their testimony. This is from the organization chapter, volume 6, page 232. You know, that which is good, what does that mean? That which stands the test of the divine word and shows itself to be in accordance with the Holy Spirit. Reprint article 31, 33. This is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak to this word, it is what? Because there is no light in them. This is one of our foundation things that we should try and test the spirits. To the law and to the testimony. Try the spirits. Like it says in 1 John 3, 2. Test the spirits, whether they be true. This is a method on how we do that, is to line it up. If they speak according to the law and the prophets, right on. If not, remove it. Hebrews 12:1. This text, I didn't know this was the theme text during our study, but it fits. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, least at any time we should let them slip. What does that mean? More earnest heed. Study the doctrine and get a clear understanding of every element of truth, becoming rooted, grounded, settled, established in the truth. What does it mean, that which we heard? The words which I speak unto you, what? They are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. What does it mean? Let them slip. We all are marred and leaky vessels. That's why we keep going over the truth. The old story isn't old. It's exciting. There is a danger of losing what we have heard and received if we do not give heed. If we do not continually filling up that leaky vessel. We have no intimation in Scripture that the Spirit of God leads His children through any other medium than His Word. Reprint article 6:14, very early. This is where we find the truth. This is where we get life. To be established in the present truth, what does that mean? It signifies that I have carefully studied and thoroughly proved it by the law and the testimonies. Reprint article 30:89. Psalms 37:23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. In what? He delights in his ways. Proverbs 4:26. Watch the path of your feet, and your ways will be established. Proverbs 12:19. Truthful lips will be established what? Forever. But a lying tongue is only for a moment. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Colossians 2:7. We've heard this one earlier. Having been, what, firmly rooted and now being built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were, what, instructed, and overflowing with, what, gratitude. 2 Peter 1:11. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them. That you, what? may be established in the truth that is present with you, or in the present truth. We all know the truth, but it sure is good to hear a good choir and to hear the brethren sing. Every doctrine should, from the foundation up, step by step, be brought to the test of the word and to the testimony. And all of which cannot be found, thus saith the Lord, should be promptly rejected, and all to which the Lord testifies as truth, hold fast. Reprint Article 1206. This is one of my favorite texts. Jeremiah 6:16. And Jehovah says, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and what? Walk in it. And what will happen? And you shall find rest for your souls. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. What? Walk in it. Wherever you turn, to the left or to the right. The truth gives us the direction. It gives us purpose. It gives us the hows, the whys, and where this crazy world's going. But it doesn't stop there, does it? It tells us what's going to happen. The aftermath. That's what we live for, isn't it? That understanding of for the joy set before us, we see an established kingdom. Have that vision in your head. That's, I don't know about you, but that's when I have to deal with this crazy world, that's what keeps me going. Because that heavenly Jerusalem coming down, that vision that we have for us, that truth will go out from Jehovah. Proverbs, or Hebrews 6:11. And we desire that each of you, each one of you will show the same diligence as so to realize the full assurance of hope, what? And to the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by none others and swore by himself, I will multiply and bless you surely, or bless you and I will surely multiply you. So, having waited patiently, he obtained the promise. For men swear by none greater than themselves, and with them an oath was given, and confirmation is an end of every dispute. And in the same way, God, desiring even more to show forth the heirs of the promise, the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that two unchangeable things, it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge for the strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have an anchor of the soul, a hope sure and steadfast, and one which which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as the forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever after what? The order of Melchizedek. God has guaranteed that one of the core principles of our faith, the Abrahamic promise, it's going to happen. That vision, that core truth, sets us apart, doesn't it, from everybody else? Just that one set of scriptures. Hold fast to that hope. Hold fast to that truth. It keeps us going to get through the day. And it's part of our heritage, an old path. Okay, cursor, where'd you go? There you are. John, 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but try the spirits, or test the spirits, what? To see if they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. That's John is saying to us. Check it out. It's part of our responsibility when we hear a discourse or in a study. Check it out. And I'm sure you've had this passed down to you. It's been passed down from my, to me, from our older brethren. Make the truth your own. Make it such an intricate part of you that when the winds of doctrine or strife or difficulties come, this is what we latch onto. This is meaning holding fast. It's like the redwoods out here. Okay, we don't have redwoods. We just got tall maple trees. Okay. But we had a storm last week. And I sat out in the front porch and watched, getting rained on, but watched the storm, watched the trees going back and forth like this. They bend, but they didn't break. They held fast. And it isn't like us. We bend, but we hold fast. Our roots are grounded in the good soil of the truth. Okay, what's our responsibility to this? This is the next question I was having. Now what? Okay? To test, to prove, not by outward appearance and claims, but what? By the Word of God. It is a duty to decide whether a doctrine is scriptural or unscriptural. To try every spirit or mind or theory or influence of the doctrine. Receiving not with a blank, unquestioning minds, but with a ready mind to learn and to prove what is true and what is not true. To hold fast to that which is good. Everyone presenting himself as a teacher and claiming to be a servant of the truth is to be tried, tested as whether he is presenting truth or error. The Word of God is to be the standard. This comes from Volume 6, 295. Remember, it is the importance of the elder to teach right, but it's also the importance of the ecclesia to check to make sure it is right. And I am so thankful in our ecclesia studies when the privilege is leading and one of the brethren say, wait a minute, that's not right. That's love to me. Because you care about me well enough to know if I said something wrong or cited a wrong scripture, you come up to me and say, that's not right. I really appreciate that. That's love. Because you care enough about that to do that. We care enough for each other to make sure we hold fast to what's right. We have an example. In Acts 17, starting with verse 10. And the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away tonight to Berea. They, when they arrived, went into the synagogue of the Jews, and they were more noble than the Thessalonica brethren, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures, what? Daily, to see if those things were true. They checked out Paul. The Thessalonican brethren were noble, but then during say more noble, the Berean brethren, they checked out Paul to see what he was teaching. That's proper ecclesia or back and forth, checking out to make sure what is being taught and said is right. And what's right, we hold fast to that. Our ability to run the race set before us in the gospel will be important proportion as we shall be obedient to the divine counsel. Volume 6, 729. Proving even the teachings of the apostles. They examined the scripture to see how well the apostles' arguments were supported by the testimony of the law and the prophets. That's a noble church, a noble ecclesia, a good example of one holding fast to the truth. They look to know the will and the counsel of God. It is our duty as brethren, individually, to prove all things that we accept. To the law and to the testimony, again, if they do not speak to the worlds because there is no light in them. The promise of being filled with the Spirit is in Ephesians 5:18, is that to those who do not merely possess the Word of God, but those who earnestly seek it, and what? To understand it. Why do we have Ecclesia studies? Because we want to learn and understand the will of God, the mind of Christ, to get into His Word. Hebrews 3:14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we, from the beginning of our assurance, stay firm until the end, the beginning of our confidence, that is, the confidence, solid confidence of the faith which we have begun to place or stand, signifies it properly as a basis or a foundation on which something else is built and by which it is supported. Our faith in Christ Jesus is the foundation, and on that all their peace, comfort, and salvation are built. If this were not held fast to the end, Christ and His saving influences could not be held fast. To he who has Christ in him has the well-founded hope of glory. And he who is the found in this great day in Christ in his heart will have abundant entrance into glory. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith. What? Without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. What does it mean, without wavering? That means you don't go like that. You're like that. When the winds blow, firm to the end, without harboring doubts or fears. Hold fast, brethren. Our faith, rather, as the Greek puts it, our hope rests on faith, and at the same time quickens faith and is the ground of our bold confession. Unless we hold fast to our faith, we will lose everything. We should scrutinize our hearts day by day to make sure that we are what? Still loyal to the Lord. Repeat Article 5698. Revelation 3:11. I'm sure everyone in this room can close their eyes and quote it. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to that which you have so that no man can take your crown. Be thou faithful unto death, and what? I will give you, this is a privilege, the crown of life. Do not let slip from you the blessed relationship entered into when the Master made you acceptable through your covenant to be dead with Him. Hold fast to your covenant of consecration. Keep that sacrifice burning on the altar. Hold fast, brethren. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who what? Endures temptation, because having been approved, he will what? Receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to you who love Him. To love your God, the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Didn't we just hear that? Deuteronomy 13:3. That's what the Lord's doing, is proving us that we stay loyal to Him and His principles. Retaining permanently the attitude of patient endurance and faithfulness with temperament, time after time, day by day. The joys of the Lord, the crown of life. John speaks of the same crown. Paul refers to it as a crown of righteousness. Peter calls it the crown of glory. The reward of life. And this life is on the highest plane. Like God, immortal. Life within itself is held out for us. Hold fast, brethren, to the truth that we have and to your consecration. It is the crown of glory because it is the reward which brings immortality and is given to the what? more than conquers, the crown or the pinnacle of all life, the highest form of life, goes beyond sometimes you just held out for us. I don't know how to put it in words. But that's the importance. That's the reward of holding fast to the truth in the spirit of the truth to the end. My cursor, where'd you go? Hold fast. Do not let this blessed relationship slip. Each one of you who comes into the fully into the light of present truth implies that someone has lost their crown. They have not kept their covenant of sacrifice. The importance, not a selfish, but we die so that others can live, that the world can live. Hold fast, brethren. Revelation 3:3. Remember then how you received and heard. Hold fast. 1 Timothy 6:19. Lay up in store for yourselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold, that you may lay hold to eternal life. O Timothy, guard the deposit. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of falsely named science. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, my brothers, stand fast. Hold to the teaching which I have taught to you, whether by word or by letter. It remains that we continue in the doctrine which was delivered to us by the mouth and writings of the apostles, through the good will of God, who comforts us with immeasurable joy, that we also continue in goodness all our whole life. 1 Corinthians 11:2. I command you, for always bear in mind and for retaining the traditions which I passed on to you. Isn't that what Brother Steve was talking about? Look at the sequence. The truth has been passed down to us. A faithful brethren. Without these faithful brethren for this last 100 years, where would we be? That's the lesson I got of what Brother Steve was talking about. It's the faithfulness. We are stewards of this truth. We have been given, if you would, the torch has been passed on. Hold fast to this, brethren, the truth. We have a touchstone right there. We have a touchstone. Hold fast to this truth. Stand fast so as not to be shaken or troubled, so as to not let go, adding nothing and subtracting nothing. Be not shaken in your mind that they should retain with persuasion that they had of the truth which he had before delivered to them, that they should still hold the same opinions and hold fast the doctrines which they have been taught. Ephesians 4:14. As a result, we are no longer to be children, what? To be tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful schemings. We are firmly planted like the redwoods. Firmly planted. What's a tradition? You know, it's not like you hear on, I always like that phrase, remember on Fiddler on the Roof, that classic phrase, well, why do you do this? I don't know, it's a tradition. You know, but our tradition, what's a tradition? A ritual, a belief, or an object passed down, still maintained in the present, but with what? Origins in the past. It literally means to transmit, to hand over, or to give over. So, what does that mean? Okay, You may not be able... this was hard to put on one slide. But up top, I hope you could see it. But my mind went, all right. What's been passed on to us? Up on the top, you see Moses, Jesus, Paul, Pastor Russell. On the left fire column, I just picked some doctrines. Ransom, consecration, sin offering, covenants, natural Israel, Lord's return, restitution, resurrection. We can add over here, faithful brethren, another column over here. But I'm just sticking with this. You can take any one of these doctrines and trace it from Moses to Jesus, Paul to Pastor. Try it. Anyone. Ransom. Exodus 21. Jesus. Matthew 20. Paul. 2 Timothy 2:5. Brother Russell. Volume 5. Light up. Make a spreadsheet like that on any doctrine that we have. And you will see the point I'm trying to make at is all what we believe has been passed down by faithful, true witnesses and teachers. Are we okay? Okay. Peter's great when you run right. Thank you. Okay, are we to the next? Proverbs 23:23. A precious scripture. Buy the truth and sell it not. Get wisdom and instructions and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not. What does that mean? What we possess naturally is not of lasting value. What we obtain instead is of priceless value. Can you put a price on your understanding of the truth? Tell me how much. You can't. You cannot. Sell it not. Sell not the truth. Wisdom and understandings are not too costly at any price, and should never be sold or compromised for the short-lived advantages of error. Reprint Article 1502. And the instruction, sought in meekness and with a ready and appreciative mind in the ways that God has appointed. 2 Corinthians 13:3, in part, at the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word is established. Every item of truth that we have can be traced, like what we just showed you in that chart, by two or three witnesses. When we say Acts 3:19 through 21, all the holy prophets, when we say ransom, we can trace it by more than one speaker, one apostle, one prophet. If we say sin offering, we can trace it all the way from Leviticus 16, Jesus, and Paul, and of course the pastor. So we have a firmly well-established tradition. This is the truth that has been passed down to us. Kind of overwhelming at times when you think about it. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, what's he going to do? I'm going to give you a meal. What a meal. We've all been partakers of that meal, haven't we? Not just a meal, but a feast. All spread out that Jesus has provided for us. Oh, again, it's overwhelming when you think about it that Jesus and us, and you look at it individually or collectively, is feeding us truth. It gives life to us, and what a personalized privilege. that we have been fed by the Lord Jesus. What's it mean to sup with Him? We feed with Him and heavenly food. The feast of meat in due season. The feast of meat in due season. Things new and old, which the Master promised to provide at that time. Remember what Brother Steve brought up. All the truth that we've learned was brought out on time, at the right time, for the right element of truth. It isn't how we learn. We need to have the right heart and the truth melted together. Then we learn more truth. It takes the character and the truth together. Not one or the other. Together. And what does this do to us? It brings us the joys of life, doesn't it? It makes everything else with our difficulties and health ailments second place. What a blessing. When we go home, and like in convention when we hear the truth, or we go to our studies, or you're in a study, and all of a sudden you get across the vein of gold, and it gets you turned on. It gets you excited. And you want to share it. And who do you share it with? Look around you. You know, when we get together, what have you been studying? Boom. Because it brings us life and excitement. Hold fast, brethren. Luke 8:15. But the seed and the good soil are the ones who heard the word in an honest and good heart. And what do? They bear fruit and perseverance. On the good ground, it's good and honest heart. And what does it do? What does this truth do to us? It brings forth fruitage. You can't help it. Brings fruit of cheerful, willing obedience. It makes you humble because you realize, who am I? Titus 1:13. This is from the Moffat. Model yourselves unto sound instruction which you have heard from me in faith and love of Christ. Model yourself. This is what the truth does to us, isn't it? This is tomorrow's study, but it transforms our character. That metamorphosis is of Romans 12:2. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we do things. It gives us a different perspective and outlook on life, doesn't it? When we read the headlines of what's happening out there in the world, what does it do? Do we go into a panic attack like our neighbors fear for things looking at coming on this world? What does it do? Our faith says, look up. Here's why. Because our faith tells us there's a kingdom coming in. Our king is in control. He's taking over. He's taking a new world order in the right way. Because we see our king marching on with a purpose. This is what gets us excited when we see the stock market falling apart, when we see the social order falling apart. We don't have panic attacks saying, what's this world coming to? Because we know what it's coming to and we know where it's headed, don't we? Why? Because of our faith. Because we hold fast to the truth that we have been taught in the spirit of it and the joy of it. And what do? This is what it's done for me. I want to share it. This is the hope of the world, isn't it? This gives a reason why things are the way they are, doesn't it? It's all because we have the truth and the love of it. Paul urged all to examine and prove themselves whether they are in the faith, grounded, established, and not moved any way from the hope of the gospel. Colossians 1:23. that we are not moved away from any part of the gospel, no matter what happens to us when we all leave convention or when we go back to our homes. We are firmly established because we know God's in control. Our faith tells us that. Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught and abound with what? Thanksgiving. That's exciting. That's motivation. We are rooted and built up here. Roots of faith pushed down deep like the redwoods up here. I'll say out here. Like we maple trees our way, or oak trees. Deep into the knowledge of the divine plan, while the tree of character grows higher, developing, maturing roots, rich fruits of the Holy Spirit. Roots go down, fruits go up. Manifestation. Reprint article 55-57. That was very encouraging. A tree is well rooted. It is hard, what? Hard to root up. It has wonderful strength. So established in the promises of God that no wind of doctrine will overturn our faith. Or no experience that the Lord may permit. Our faith will remain strong. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on what? On a rock. And when the rains came down and the floods came down, you should have experienced what we had our way in the Midwest. That the winds blew and beat on the house, and what? It did not fall. For it was founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, what? He shall be compared to what? A foolish man. Whoever builds his house on what? Sand. And when the rains came, what happened? The wind blew, it beat on the house, and what happened to it? Fell in. Established in the faith means when the winds of life and experiences come to us, we still stay strong. I'm not saying they're not hard. They are. But it doesn't shake our faith. It helps us establish our faith. It firms up our faith. Just like the redwood trees. If it didn't have the winds, the rains, the storms, it really wouldn't be a strong tree. Colossians 2:20. And we are built upon the foundation of what? Apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief what? Cornerstone. In whom every building, having fitly framed together, grows into a holy sanctuary in the Lord. In whom you also are built together for a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. Firm foundation our faith is built on. 2 Peter 3:18. Brethren, finally, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternal salvation. Amen.